If this is your first time in a church service, we do this every Sunday. What we do is we look at Christ Jesus in the Bible. And we've been seeing over the last few weeks and the last few months and actually over the last couple of years at New City Church that the Bible is all about Jesus. The AC is kicked in. That should make us more comfortable. So last week, we're actually doing a series of talks revolving around Christmas. Roshni started that off a couple of weeks ago. Last week, I looked at two characters from the Bible, and we looked at the passage from a book called James, chapter 2. We looked at Abraham, who was a prince, and Rahab, who was a prostitute, and we looked at that passage, and we together discovered that that entire passage, though there is no Christmas in the face of it, is actually pointing to Christmas. This week, we're going to look at a passage that has Christmas written all over it. So allow me to read this passage about the birth of Jesus from the Bible before I get in to our talk this morning. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they could come together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth. I'm sorry, I forgot to move the slides. She will give birth. That's the second paragraph on the slide for us. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage till she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Could we just pray before we dive into the text this morning? Father God, thank you for sending Emmanuel, God with us, Christ with us. Lord, we beg you this morning, by your Holy Spirit, would you lift up Christ high, make him look beautiful, Lord, as he always is, that we might fall in love with this child who was given to us, that we might fall in love with Jesus, that we might worship him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength and all our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm basically going to look at three things from the text this morning. Three very relevant questions. Was the virgin birth really true? I know most of us are professionals here, and you know, we could think of it, this could just be a myth, this could just be a legend. So we're going to try and understand and examine the question. Was this really true? The second thing that we're going to look at is, was the virgin birth really necessary? What if Jesus had not been born of a virgin but had still died on the cross for us? Wasn't that good enough? So was the virgin birth really necessary? And the third thing we're going to look at this morning is, what does it mean for us? Was the virgin birth really true? Was the virgin birth really necessary? And third, what does it mean for us? Let's dive straight in the first question. Was the virgin birth really true? I recently heard about this joke that was played on a couple that was about to get married. The man was a pastor. His name was, let's call him Dave. Okay, and he met and fell in love with a woman named Julia, and very wisely and very carefully he kind of explored, and he found that she too had similar feelings, and they started dating with the idea of marriage. And Dave and Julia got to know each other. They prayed and they felt that God was leading the two of them towards marriage, and so they put a date and they started planning and preparing for the marriage. Close to the wedding date, Dave took Julia out shopping for their wedding clothes. So he planned the entire first half of the day beautifully for her. So Dave took Julia out, and you know, we had to a couple of places where they shortlisted some clothes and they picked clothes for Julia first, they picked the clothes for Dave. And all this while, Dave kept getting calls on his mobile phone. You know what that feels like, right? There were at least 10 calls on his mobile phone, but Dave did not pick a single phone call. He kept disconnecting all the calls. He would just see the number disconnect. And Julia was touched. I mean, Dave wanted to give Julia his entire attention. So after the shopping was done, Dave took Julia to a beautiful restaurant, a nice romantic restaurant, where the food was amazing, the ambience was amazing, and they ordered some food, and they were having a beautiful conversation, enjoying the food. Everything was picture perfect. At that moment, there was this guy, Steve, who decided to play a prank on Dave and Julia. So Steve rushes into that restaurant, and he is in panic. And he looks at Dave and says, "Dave, where have you been? I've been calling you, 10 times this morning. Your wife is in the hospital. Your child is admitted. Your child's daughter is really serious. We need you. Come back soon. I'm there at the hospital. Come to the hospital very quickly." And then he turns to Julia. Steve, Dave's friend, turns to Julia, gives her a dirty look, and runs out of the restaurant. Imagine Dave's plight. He is at a complete loss of words. He doesn't know what to tell Julia. And imagine Julia. Her entire world has come crumbling down. The man she loved, the man who had been so beautiful in taking care of her this morning, getting the clothes and giving her undivided attention, she begins to wonder where those calls from his wife. And imagine Dave trying to explain to Julia that this is just a prank. And Dave didn't succeed. This happened really. It's a real incident. Real prank somebody played. Please don't play such pranks on anyone who gets married in New City. Please don't. And Julia just burst into tears. Dave is at a complete loss of words. He just couldn't explain. And she rushes out of the hotel in tears. And there is Steve with a couple of friends laughing. And they tell Julia that it's one big joke. Now, I can assure you that Dave never got to hang out with Steve after that. Julia ensured that. This is a really funny story. But this story is so pregnant with meaning for us this morning as we consider the virgin birth. The first question that we are trying to answer this morning is, was the virgin birth real, or was it just a cooked up myth? So to establish the historical accuracy of the virgin birth, I'm going to ask us this one question. In Mary's time, who would have been the one person most difficult to convince that Mary had indeed conceived of the Holy Spirit and not of a relation with a man? Was it her father? Okay. What about the man she was about to marry? Now, let's come to a consensus on this. Who would have been the one person most difficult to convince that the entire world is not trying to make a fool of him and trick him into marrying Mary, who was pregnant, visibly pregnant, and people were telling him that Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit? Sounds weird, doesn't it? Yeah. So Joseph, we all agree, would have been the one person most difficult to convince. But if Joseph was indeed convinced that Mary had conceived of the Holy Spirit, then why should we have a problem with it? Right? So what we're going to do is we're actually going to look at Joseph's reaction on hearing that his fiancée Mary had been conceived of the Holy Spirit. So let's see things from Joseph's perspective. The passage that we read from the book of Matthew, it tells the story of Mary's conception by the Holy Spirit through Joseph's perspective. In the book of Luke, which is another gospel in the New Testament, the story is told from Mary's perspective. And we're going to look at a little bit of both. The first question is, how did Joseph come to know his fiancée Mary was pregnant? How did Joseph come to know? most likely, we cannot be 100% sure, but most likely, if you look at the passage, Mary did not tell Joseph. You look at that text, she was found to be pregnant. So Joseph, it's not as if Mary called Joseph or WhatsApped him or nothing like that. You know, Joseph came to know. It was found out that Mary was pregnant. So this suggests Mary did not tell Joseph. If you look at this, the same narrative in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. So as soon as the angel Gabriel came and told Mary that she would be a pregnant, conceived of the Holy Spirit with this child she was to name Jesus, she immediately, as soon as she heard this news, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Because in Judea, the angel had told her that Elizabeth, her relative, who was very, very old, was also pregnant. So Mary goes to meet Elizabeth to find faith that what is indeed happening to her is true. Because the angel told her, go and see this old woman is also pregnant. And so Mary goes there, and then again in verse 56, the same chapter we read, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. In those days, there was no WhatsApp, there was no email, and there's probably no way for Mary to communicate with Joseph. So at the end of 3 months, when Mary comes back, Joseph discovered. So to the best I can see, I cannot say this with absolute certainty, to the best I can see, Mary did not tell Jesus. Joseph. How would Joseph have felt? Now think about the prank that Steve played on Dave and Julia. Imagine Dave and Julia at that moment trying to make sense. How would Joseph have felt when he heard from someone that Mary, his fiance, was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? He would have been angry. He would never have believed it. And he must have wondered if people were taking him to be a naive fool who would believe that his fiance was conceived with the Holy Spirit and not with a relationship with another man. The Bible, the passage that we just read, does tell Joseph's initial reaction. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Clearly, Joseph did not initially believe that Mary had indeed conceived by the Holy Spirit. Nobody could convince Joseph. Joseph was absolutely clear that he is not going to believe this Holy Spirit Immaculate Conception business. Until there was divine intervention. Joseph had a dream, and an angel came and told Joseph, we read in the passage, that Mary is indeed conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph was convinced. If Mary's fiance was convinced that Mary was indeed pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that to me is proof of the historical accuracy of the virgin birth. The second piece of evidence I'd like to present for us this morning to establish that Mary was indeed pregnant by the Holy Spirit is a prophetic word that comes in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament, and Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ was born. And 700 years before Christ was born, this is what Isaiah, a prophet is a messenger of God. And this is what Isaiah has to say in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Those very words, 700 years later, is repeated to Mary and Joseph. That's the first thing we wanted to look at this morning. Was the virgin birth really true? I believe it is. Joseph believed it is. It was. The second question we're going to look at this morning is, was the virgin birth really necessary? What if Jesus Christ had not been born of a virgin, but still had died on the cross and rose again from the dead? What if Jesus was actually born through physical union between Joseph and Mary? If Jesus was not born of a virgin, we have a huge problem. for our sins to be forgiven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, Jesus Christ had to be a sinless sacrifice. If there was even one sin in Christ Jesus, his sacrifice, his death on the cross on our behalf, paying the price for our sins, paying the punishment for our sins, would not be acceptable in God's eyes. To save sinful people, a sinless man had to be punished in our place. The sacrifice had to be sinless. So even if there was one sin in Christ Jesus, his death on the cross would not be an acceptable sacrifice in the eyes of a holy and perfect God. We know that Jesus led a sinless life. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, puts it beautifully. For we do not have a high priest, this passage is talking about Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one, Jesus, who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So we know that Christ Jesus led a sinless life, absolutely sinless life. But what about his birth? If Christ Jesus had been of a natural birth from the union of a man and woman, he would have been sinful from the moment of his conception, from the moment of his birth. Why do I say that? The Bible starts with the creation account of Adam and Eve, and Adam disobeyed God and he sinned. And because of the sin, we read in Genesis that Adam's seed was infected with sin. So since the time of Adam and Eve, every child of Adam, every child of man is sinful from birth. David puts this beautifully in Psalm 51:5. This is what David says. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. The moment a husband's sperm penetrates his wife's egg, that embryo that is formed is sinful because Adam's seed and every generation after that has been infected by sin. You see, sin is an unavoidable hereditary disease that every human child inherits at the time of conception. So if Christ Jesus had been born of marriage between Joseph and Mary, then Jesus was born sinful. We know that is not the case because we believe that Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible refers to Jesus as seed of the woman. And so in the birth of Jesus, there was no man involved. Adam's descendants, who were all sinful, was not involved. If Jesus had not been born through virgin birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit, he could not have died as the sacrifice for sin. That is why the virgin birth was necessary. I keep saying this. There are three things that are unparallelly, incomparably unique about Jesus. Three things about Jesus that no man in the history of human civilization across all religious beliefs have never claimed about themselves. Nowhere in human civilization is there a parallel to virgin birth. Only Jesus in the history of all humanity was born of a virgin. So the first thing about Jesus that is unique is that his birth was unique. The second thing that is about Jesus that is incomparably unique is that his life was unique. His life was unique because he was tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he was without sin. In no religious history, in any human civilization, has anyone who has claimed to be God or an incarnation of God, no one has claimed to be sinless. Only Christ was sinless. The third thing about Jesus that is remarkably unique is his death. He died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. Again, in religious history, or in religious mythology, there is no other person who claimed to be God who died and rose again from the dead. That's why the virgin birth is so important for our faith in Jesus. The third question I want to close with this in the next 5 to 8 minutes is what does this virgin birth mean for us? His birth was unique, his life was unique, and his death was unique. What does this virgin birth mean for us? The answer is there in the passage that we began with this morning. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel is an expression of the desire in God's heart to have a relationship with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I have to confess that I don't always fully appreciate or cherish the full import of God with us, of Emmanuel, of Christ Jesus. Christ, the creator of all universe, chose to limit himself to the confines of Mary's womb for 9 months because God desired a relationship with us. Christ, the all-powerful God, chose to become a vulnerable infant, completely dependent upon his earthly parents for his very survival as a human, because God desires a relationship with us. Christ gave himself to grow up as a normal child, tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet without sin, so that God would have a relationship with us. Hebrews, a book in the New Testament, puts it beautifully, talking about Jesus. Since the children have flesh and blood, Christ too shared in their humanity. Christ had to be made like us, fully human in every way, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that by his sinless life, by his sinless birth, and by his atoning death and resurrection, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What I've just said is fact that makes truth clear to our minds. What I'd like to do, and what I'm really finding myself inadequate to do, is to make this truth real so that our heart is gripped by this truth of God with us. So I'm going to use an illustration. But I have to admit right up that this illustration is a poor illustration. Because how can I capture the essence of God becoming man? God with us. There was an American woman named Diane Fossey. She spent 18 years in Africa studying gorillas. It took her months to earn the trust of these gorillas. She ate among these gorillas. She slept among them. She developed deep friendships with many gorillas. Her book, Gorillas in the Mist, tells her story and also chronicles her scientific findings about gorillas. It was later made into a movie. Fossey identified 3 distinct groups of gorillas in her study area, but initially she could not get close to them at all. You know, it took her months of persevering, months of trying, months of patience, and eventually she found that by mimicking their actions, the actions of these gorillas, and by making grunting sounds, by walking around like a gorilla and eating from the plants that the gorillas eat and following them from a safe distance, slowly, 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 after months of patience and persevering and dangerous risks, she was finally accepted by at least 3 groups of gorillas. After many years, she was actually successful in habituating with these gorillas. Essentially, she became part of these 3 gorilla clans. To the gorillas, she became human with us. She also fought poaching tooth and nail. During her life, there were a lot of people who were killing, hunting down and killing the gorillas for their meat and for their skin and for as trophies and all of that. And she fought these poachers tooth and nail. And she was very outspoken in her opposition to the poaching. And she took some big risks trying to save the gorillas from the poachers. And she would come, often come in the line of fire, and she really took some big risks. One day, she was found dead, her face split into two with one blow of the machete. This is still a poor illustration of God with us, but it is a powerful one. We are not gorillas, not for a moment suggesting that. Guyan Fossey is not God. What it took God to become man and come and be with us. And the manifestation of his desire to be with us, revealing himself to us through his son Jesus. It's a beautiful expression of God's love for us. I have two questions to pose for us, and I encourage us to ponder over these questions as we wind up this time this morning with a couple more songs. God desires a relationship with us in sending his son Jesus Christ as a man. The question I'd like us to ponder about is, do we desire a relationship with Jesus? That's time for see with the gorillas. Do we desire a relationship with Jesus? God wants to be with us. I want to talk to those of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus. Do we want to be with God? As we look back at our life in 2015, did we live the year just gone by in the awareness of Christ with us? I ask this question not to condemn us, not to make us feel guilty, because God would never do that. He is always wooing us, inviting us, pursuing us to come back into a relationship with him. Are we living in the awareness of God's presence with me? The second question I'd like to encourage us to ponder about this morning is based on a verse from a book called Zechariah in the Old Testament. Let me just read that out for us. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. As followers of Jesus, we believe that if we live our lives as if God is with us, our lives will draw people to Christ. Second question I'd like us to ponder about, not just this morning, but for the rest of the year as we prayerfully look ahead to the year ahead, is the life I lived in 2015, did that attract other people to Jesus? I'm going to just close with one thought, and I'm going to suggest a very simple prayer for us. One of the things we believe in New City is Christ is everything for us. And the prayer I'm going to suggest for us to make is a very simple prayer. We're going to ask God's help to see Jesus daily. Simple. To see Jesus daily. To live in the awareness of his presence. So when we see Jesus daily, we live in the awareness of his presence. See Jesus daily. From the word, from this community, in all the ways possible. The second thing is we're going to pray God's help to help us display Jesus. I want to make this the goal of not just 2016. I want to make this the goal of my entire life. I want to see Christ Jesus daily, and I want to display Christ Jesus daily.